we've got the ULEZ that's coming into force on Monday, which is proving to be a bit controversial. Where do you stand with the ULEZ?
I mean, it's a difficult one because, of course, on the one hand, the reasons for bringing the ULEZ in are very worthy. Of course, we know we have a air pollution problem in our city centre, and we need to do something about it. We also have a global climate crisis taking place, and we all have to start making some changes, even if they're going to be a little bit painful. Conversely, the argument is that it's going to be jolly expensive for people, and of course, it's always the people who can least afford it who are now either going to have to pay this daily charge or going to have to sell their vehicle and buy a new one, probably both of which they can ill afford.
I've spoken to two people over the last week. They're both in the building trade, and when everyone was told to buy diesel, they went out and got a diesel van. And they've both had to spend in the region of £22,000 to change and upgrade their vans just so they can go to work. I mean, that's not really fair, is it?
You're right. It's not fair. Conversely, this new zone has been on the cards for the last 3 years, so it's not exactly a surprise to people that it's going to be coming in. I would also say that, to a degree, and it's important, you can't use this argument carte blanche, but to a degree, nobody could foresee, and there was no business plan for petrol and fuel diesel prices jumping almost 20p a litre in the last few weeks. So sometimes these things happen, and unfortunately these additional costs businesses just have to find a way around. Normally, of course, it involves passing that on to their customers, and it is extremely painful. But going back round to where I was at the beginning, we have got a global climate emergency on our hands, and we all have to start making changes, as painful as some of those may be.
Do you think it should have been delayed?
I think the government are under a lot of pressure, particularly with COP26 coming just a few weeks away. Boris Johnson was making announcements earlier in the week about further spending, helping to electrify the roads, and also helping to provide infrastructure for electric vehicles as well. I think all of this is coming hand in hand. We need to start encouraging people, many of whom want to. I mean, funnily enough, the research Motorway have done into the type of car people would like to buy next shows that almost half of them want to move to electric. But when you then speak to people about what their concerns may be, charging infrastructure is normally the first one they mention. So it's important that we start encouraging people to make some greener choices. And should it have been delayed? It could have been, but I don't see that that's actually going to solve the problem. I think, unfortunately, people are always going to maybe leave things to the last minute. I think the research that has thrown up with this motorway survey shows that although people knew that it was happening, people just are totally unaware of the zones and whether their vehicles comply or not. To me, that sort of, if you step back from that, it suggests people know it's happening, but they just don't simply engage. They think it may not be applicable to them. And I think it's a slight case of perhaps head in the sand. Not that that's right, but I think that's just human nature.
Like you said, people do want to make the change. I want to, but there's no charging points. The charge of the car doesn't last long enough if you do a long journey. The batteries are extremely lethal when you go to get rid of an electric car or when it comes to the end of its life. So what would you say to people who have those concerns, but like you said, they want to do it now, but if there's no means for them to do it, they're in a catch-22 situation?
You're absolutely right. So starting with charging infrastructure, it is a real problem. And for many years, it has been a real problem. And it has therefore been the number one reason why people have not been moving to electric cars. As with always, all these things, it's difficult because it turns out to be the people who have got the most disposable income, who have houses with private driveways, who can therefore guarantee to be able to charge their car at home. Those are the ones who are able to make the switch. The people who live in more, a row of terraced houses who don't have private parking, those are the ones who can't. But the infrastructure is improving, and it is improving every day. More and more chargers are coming online, and the government have announced another £350 million, I think, to help support an increase in the charging infrastructure. So that's going to make an enormous difference to people. In terms of second life of battery, well, you're also right to say that the production of electric cars is by no means green either. They use, particularly in the batteries, they use lithium, nickel and cobalt, all of which have implications to the way that they're mined. But what we're seeing now are more and more applications for second-use batteries. So the batteries aren't scrapped at the end of a car's life. They go into other solutions. So, for example, there are fast charging hubs where second-life batteries will be taken out of a car and will go into essentially a big shipping container. These hubs have got solar panels, so they take solar energy and put that energy into the batteries, which means that you can fast charge your vehicle using battery, using energy that's stored within these batteries, not taking it directly from the grid. Now, that's just one application. There are also all sorts of solutions for a sort of a home setup, not dissimilar to that. Now, this is currently expensive and it's a long way down the line, but the point is, it is coming. The technology is there. As more and more people start buying electric cars and we start seeing more second life batteries coming back into the system, these types of uses will become cheaper, and certainly in new houses, it'll be factored into the way that they're constructed. So it's important, particularly also with older vehicles, people remember that there is a carbon dioxide footprint associated with everything we buy, whether it's a pair of jeans or whether it's a car. And if you do drive a vehicle that is non-compliant, it may still be a really good car with plenty of miles left under its belt before it needs to be maybe scrapped. Now, it's important to know that actually that car still has a huge value, because if you are if you sell it, it can go to areas outside any of these ULEZ zones, where, as I say, it still has a really useful life. So it's important people don't lose hope and see that there are still plenty of opportunities out there.
I've spoken to many people, from listeners to politicians, who say the UK is doing its bit, but it doesn't make a difference if countries like America and China are not going to do their bit. And I think people feel a bit discouraged. They feel they're doing so much already. It feels worthless if everyone doesn't play their part.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you look at it on a global scale, the UK's contribution to global emissions is very small. Having said that, everyone has to start somewhere. And just because as is very small, historically, as was very big. And where as an emerging economy like China, for example, 50, 70 years ago, China's was very small. Now, China's is very big. We can't just say, well, this is your problem, China. It isn't. This is everybody's problem. And everybody has to start making changes. It does feel like a drop in the ocean. But I think with COP26 coming up, you know, the fact that the UK is doing such a lot and so many people are making some really significant changes, impactful changes as well, I think that's just leading the way. That's just setting the example of what is possible. I would just add one further thing, if I may.
Yeah.
That, as I say, it's really important that anybody who drives anywhere near the new zone check whether their vehicle is compliant or not, because obviously you don't want to have any nasty surprises. But really, if you feel that your vehicle is not going to be compliant and selling it is the option, it's important people know everything has got a really strong value, even if it's not ULEZ compliant in more rural areas.